will bless you in what it's going to say to your heart. I'm going to use a illustration this morning that's unique, to say the least, and it'll explain really exactly what I'm trying to get across to everyone today here in the house of God and on Facebook Live, that we would be able to instruct or give instruction into your heart about what it is to run the race of faith. You know, we have faith. We live by faith. We have to live by faith. This world challenges us daily to exercise our faith. Every time I pray for someone that's ill, I'm exercising faith, whether over the phone or in their presence by the laying on of hands. Everything that I try to do is through faith, because faith is a great arena to work in. It's really a wondrous atmosphere, the faith atmosphere, to see the Lord respond to faith and to understand what faith really is. It's actually God's word in your heart being exercised, instead of your own mind saying this is what it's all about. You know, I can figure this out. You know, I'm just going to tell you today, there's a lot of things I simply can't figure out, but through faith, I can see them completed. Sometimes it takes a little longer than other times, because if you have a mind like mine that is constantly thinking and moving and always never restful, I like things to work out pretty fast so I can get to the next place. But oftentimes it takes time, and so I'm really glad that God gave me patience in my character to be able to work with people, and also to work with myself, because I can become impatient with me. And it's important that we understand that when we run this race of faith, we want to be able to run to the finish. I talk to a lot of people that never get done with what they started. They never finish what they believe God gave them to do, or what they dreamed to do. They never just ever get through the process. I want to read a scripture to you today. Let me explain this to you. There is a process in faith. First of all, you got to believe. More than just seeing it, you got to believe, not by what you see, but you have to look through the eyes of faith to see it complete. I know that sounds radical, but you got to kind of build this structure in your mind that this is going to work, and what I'm dreaming, I'm going to get to where I need to be to see it complete. There's a lot of resting places on this highway I'm talking about, the highway of faith. There's a lot of places where you can just pull over and rest. You know, there's times where you become weary in faith, so you need to pull over. You need to rest, or you're going to crash. You know, I remember doing a youth camp in many, many years ago in Camp Oakhurst outside of Fresno, and I was up most of the night, and I had to get back to San Lorenzo to take care of some things, and on the way home, I actually had to pull over and pull into the rest area. I shut the engine of the van off, and the next thing I know, I woke up about 3 hours later. My head dropped to my chest, and I was out. I needed to rest. You know, it's important. Somebody asked me yesterday, does power sleeps help in any way? And that doesn't work with me. You know, if I'm going to go out, I want a little bit more than 10 minutes. You know, but because my mind is so active. But there are times where you just have to find places to rest. And I want to say to you today as I move forward, oftentimes the best place you can find in rest with your faith walk is in prayer, where you spend time in prayer, you spend time in some sort of a area with the Lord where you can be quiet before the Lord. David said he would lie at night and meditate on the Lord. David said he would pray 7 times a day, 3 times a day. I always challenge people to be disciplined in your prayer life so you can find rest through prayer. It's very important. So let me take you through something here that you run your race of faith. And I want to read this scripture to you. In Acts chapter 20, I don't have the scripture to put up on the slide, but Paul was exhorting the elders in the church in Ephesus. They were kind of laying a lot of stuff on him, and they were putting a lot of things out there, and he was just like, you know, let me tell you, sometimes people can slow your race down, okay? I mean, they can get into your life, under your skin, into your head, slow you down a little bit. And what God wants you to do is to run, to be active, to be alive in faith. You never get too elderly to stop having a living faith. Seriously. I mean, your diet may change, but the word is also a food for us, and that doesn't change. It's amazing. The Bible even says, taste of the Lord and see that he is good. And that what they're saying is, read the book, get the book into your spirit, and see that it's good. It works. David said, I hid your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. You get the word in your heart, it's difficult to sin. Because this area of conviction comes in. Well, Paul was just being bombarded by these elders and their stuff. And what he wanted to do, he just wanted to exhort them. And he said this in verse 24 of Acts 20. But none of these things move me. In other words, I'm not going to let anything that you're doing move me from what I'm doing. People are really artists on trying to move you out of what you're doing. I want you to know that. People are dream destructors. People can be negative. People can pour cold water on your hot fire instead of being encouragers, instead of helping you with your dream, instead of praying with you for your dream and believing God's promise along with the promise that you have from the Lord, and they're believing with you. He said, I'm not going to let anything move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself. In other words, I'm not going to let anything that may challenge my life, that I feel my life is more important than what God has called me to do. The book of Revelation says that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Three things: by the blood of the Lamb, by the testimony of our lips, what we speak. In other words, we don't say, okay, you know, I'm done, I quit. We are overcomers by what we speak, by saying we are of the Lord. We are children of God. We are empowered by God. We have the power of the Lord living within us. We're vessels of honor. We're carrying around a treasure with us. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. You know, we're actually more than conquerors also. But the third thing it says, not only by the testimony of our lips, the third thing is that we don't love our life even as unto death more than we love God. We keep ourselves ahead of it by understanding that who we have in our life is God, and that's the most important in our life. Now, I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm going to be there in a minute. I'm just trying to get this thing structured for you, so when I take off from the runway, you're going to fly with me. But the idea of it is that what we have to understand is we have something in our heart called the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you've been bought by a price and you are no longer your own? Don't you know that God is doing a work in you and he's going to complete that work until the day of the Lord? Don't you know that we are to press on to the calling of Jesus Christ in God? Press through. That word press in the Greek means you really got to shove. Because there are entities that are trying to stop you from dreaming and moving forward. Things happen in life that causes you to almost have the wind knocked out of you. Well, let me take you to a place that I haven't mentioned yet, that I believe where the church is today. And I think that the church is a winner, by the way. I don't think the church is a loser. I think the church across the world is a winner. Because you can't lose with Jesus Christ. I mean, there are people that act like they've lost, but you haven't lost. You just don't lose with Jesus. Amen. You just don't lose with Jesus. He's always there to help. There's a movie that my wife was watching a few weeks ago, and it caught my eye, and I have seen it before, and I was reminded of how much I really like this movie. And it's a movie called Secretariat. It's a tremendous movie about a racehorse who did some amazing things in 1973. A wonderful racehorse. But as I watched the movie, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak into my heart and began to give me some metaphors or similes or analogies of where the church is and how she began and where she is now and what she can really do, just like Secretariat did in 1973 by winning the Triple Crown. Now, Secretariat really was... had unique parents. Let me just tell you that. The father was bold ruler. It kind of reminds me of Jesus. Bold ruler. And then also, the mother was something royal. Something royal. There's a royalty. There's this birthing of this foal that literally wasn't even supposed to be a male, because out of this mother, there's only been female foals born for, I can't even remember the number now. And all of a sudden, this foal comes out. It was a little bit of a difficult birth. You've got to follow me here now, and I want you to think about the church as I'm speaking. A little bit of a difficult birth. But this male came. And the uniqueness of this male foal was that they never saw a foal get up on its feet and stand on its feet so rapidly. It got right up. They were impressed. I mean, this is something impressive that it got right up and began to move and began to walk around. And then they showed out in the pasture just running and dancing and just alive. And there's something special about Secretariat. And they begin to see that maybe this could be a horse that could bring value. Bring value. You know, and I see the church when it's birthed, you know, it began, it came up so rapidly. It stood so quickly. And it ran so smoothly. And it had so much energy in moving into the New Testament as Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 continued to move forward. And all that the church was doing, it was something that the people stood back and said, this could be something great. This could be something that brings a difference to the lives of a world that needs God so desperately. A world that's twisted and confused and unsure of who's teaching what and what is being taught over here and how do we embrace this when it's being said over there and the confusion and the arguments. Well, Secretariat continued to grow. And, you know, it began to show some real promise. He did some real promise. And you know, at its height, it was only 5'6", but it weighed 1,119 pounds. They called Secretariat Big Red. And I kind of get a kick out of that because I think the church should be called Big Red. Because we're covered by the redemption, the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, and it's not the size that makes the difference. Height, it was what was within inside Secretariat that made him run the way he ran. So when he began to race in the early stages, he would start in the back of the pack. And everybody would go, no. Oh, everybody that was betting was go, oh, no, everybody was down. But all of a sudden, Secretariat would get this look. There was others before me, and I'm the winner. And he would take off. And from the back of the pack, all of a sudden, Secretariat would come and win. Sometimes by just a head, sometimes by a length, but would win, consistently win every race, and everybody was clapping, everybody was cheering on. It's like the church in the early days. Everybody saw what the church was doing, and sometimes it looked like it was way back here. But when the finish line came for a promise of God, the church came through first. Well, then all of a sudden they ran him against a horse. And this horse was owned by this radical negative guy. Oh, he was such a loud mouth. Sort of like the devil. Such a loud mouth, radical, bad guy. And he was bragging on his horse. Was better than Secretariat. Well, they ran a race, and guess what? Secretariat lost. And everybody withdrew, and all of a sudden, all these people with big money were saying, what, you're not going to be able to have this horse, doesn't have the goods. It lost. They yelled at the jockey, the rider of that horse, you should have rode him harder, you should have let him go earlier. And he was saying, I did everything I normally do, but Secretariat lost. And they fired the jockey, they yelled at him, and everybody wanted to come in and destroy everything about what Secretariat has already done. Sounds like some way the church is at today. What we've already done, people want to yell and want to blame someone else, and we don't want to really do what we know is right. This guy bragged. My horse is better than Secretariat. I've got the winner of the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. I've got the horse. Well, what they did is like this one guy offered millions of dollars just to kind of own part of Secretariat. And the owner said, no, I have faith. I know something's going to happen. The other people came in and everybody was against her. And literally, there was this stand where the woman who owned him said, I believe. I believe that God is saying to the church today, I believe. When everybody else thinks the church isn't going to do anything, I believe the Lord is saying, I believe that my body, my church is going to do something. Amen. Well, they called in somebody to check what's wrong. Something wrong with the legs, the hoofs, something wrong with the upper part of the body. What's wrong? The vet said, I can't figure this out. Looks like, you know, it was a fast start, and now it's a fizzle, sort of like the church right now is a fizzle. We seem to don't have any power. We seem to don't have the faith that we need to complete things, that we know that God will honor if we just move forward in what the Lord is saying. Are you with me this morning? And see what the Lord is telling us to do, asking us to do, kindly giving us dreams and promises that are phenomenal and fantastic. But the church is kind of acting like it's a little dull, a little weak. Can't really beat that devil. When it comes down to the finish line, the devil's always winning. That vet's going around checking the ears now. Maybe something's wrong. You know, who? What is? And the vet comes and goes and touches the mouth, and secretariat goes back like this. He thought, well, settle down. Thought maybe he's a little nervous. You know, racehorses of that caliber are a little jumpy. And so he goes and he touches again, and she moves, and he finds out later, presses way up high, way up into the mouth, and he says, the problem is secretariat has an abscess. So in other words, when the bridle is in the mouth and you're pulling it back and you're trying and you're releasing, there's so much pain that he doesn't feel or has the strength because of this abscess. He can't run like he knows how to run. And I believe today the church has an abscess. We are liberal when we should be holy. We are caught up in addiction in a world that wants us to be caught up in addictions instead of being delivered. We are caught up in pornography when we shouldn't be looking at pornography. We are caught up with all sorts of sins and what we think is okay. And we're beginning to take what God says and we're saying, wait, we're going to say this. You just need to deal with how we're doing with this. We got it together. That's an abscess. That's an abscess. We need to walk how God wants us to walk. Talk how God wants us to talk. And we need to look at things as God wants us to look at things. We don't need to be caught up in sin and doubt, worry, and fear. These are all abscesses. We are winners. Winners don't do those things. We need to understand that the Bible was written for us to be able to read and understand the love, the power, the grace, the mercy, and the goodness of God every day in our life. Not just Sunday. Not just someday, but every day. God is there for us. Every day God wants to bless us, but we have an abscess. And we don't want to talk about it. Secretariat couldn't talk about it. But we could talk about it, but we don't want to talk about it because we don't want anybody to know that we have an abscess. That we're living not in the center of God's will anymore. We're somewhere in the outskirts of God's will. Somewhere by the fence line between God's will and the world. We want to talk more about the donkey and the elephant than we do about the King of Kings, the Lion and the Lamb. We want to fight over politics instead of fighting on our knees for the sinners to be saved. We fear the Holy Ghost power because we want the power. Are you with me? I know you're out acting like you are like that this morning. And you know what? I said to the Lord, I don't even care if they don't get this. I'm just going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to say what you tell me to say and have them understand that there is a world out there that God has called us to bring the gospel to. Amen. Amen. Not a world out there that wants us to be invited to their party. We need to invite them to our party. Our party's fun. Our party's full of forgiveness and deliverance. So he feels this abscess, and they fix the abscess. How powerful is that? They fix the abscess. And literally, he comes to the next race. He doesn't have an abscess anymore. Of course, they don't raise up a big sign. The abscess is healed. He just gets in that gate, and all of a sudden, he runs. It's the Kentucky Derby. He runs, and he starts off way in the back. Remember, he lost that race. That guy, that devil screaming at him, he'll never do it. I got the best horse. You know, laughing at. The devil laughs at the church. Do you know that?
Because we don't live in power anymore. We live in a weakness of flesh, and we live in an area where we want to control everything. But God is not going to come in and take that away, because we choose the world more than we choose God. God's saying through me, and what God is saying to the church across America, just by so many people that are speaking the word in truth, get rid of your abscess and you will win this. He starts in the back of the pack. They're all in the crowd. The devil's over here. His horse is up front. He's smiling. He's nudging everybody. Secretariat's way back in the back. They got the same jockey. They rehired him back because it was an abscess. Wasn't his fault. He's on there riding, and he's all the way in the back. They come up, and they're coming around to the final turn. And all of a sudden, and I pray this happens to the church in the final turn, if not before, Secretariat comes alive. All of a sudden, you see something that was going 20 miles an hour. And I'm just giving a fictitious number there of mileage per hour. To 1,000 miles an hour. He passed every horse going. And he passed, and he won by one length. The fastest ever run in the Kentucky Derby. Well, everybody was, oh, yeah. Yeah, yay. And so then the devil gets there and said, well, you won that one, but you won't win the Preakness. Nope. Not going to do it. Gets to the Preakness. Same thing. Devil's over there screaming. Look at him now. It's a longer race. He'll never get there. Never do it. He's in the back, and all of a sudden, here comes Secretariat. He had a heart. My wife said it to me. It's about a horse that has a heart that would not let anybody beat him. He would just be who he was till it came time for the moment to cross the finish line. No abscess. All eyes on Secretariat, not on the devil's horse. Back all the way in the back again, and right around the turn coming into the stretch, here comes this horse that all of a sudden changes its posture, changes its position, and comes across and wins by 2.5 lengths. Fastest in the Preakness ever. So, you know how the devil is. He doesn't never let up. You know that, don't you? If you ever think the devil's going to let up on you, you can forget it, because he's never going to let up. The only time that you're going to get your way with him is here on this earth, when you confess the name of Jesus Christ, when you cast him out in Jesus' name, and when you live in the holiness and the purity that God wants us to live by. And the time that you're going to get your last laugh is when you look from heaven down to that through that great gulf and just laugh. Because victory belongs to the church. We are winners. Are you with me? I'm going to close in a minute, because I see some of you yawning, and I'm thinking, man, I better preach harder now. But then I'm going to try to be a little bit better for you. Let me say this to you. Here comes the Belmont. This is a race that is longer and takes more air and more strength. Secretariat has never run this far, ever. The devil's horse has run that far, and he likes to brag about it. They're in their time together, you know, like two boxers when they're going to go into a ring, and that pre-interview when they go, look at me, I'm the best, you know, and everything else. No, he's yelling. He said, we'll see. They get in there. The gate opens.
They're running this. This is a long race. Everybody's worried because the Secretariat's never done this. Never gone that far. Never got to that place. He is way in the back. I'm telling you. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just in the beginning of the race, he all of a sudden says, you know what? I'm not waiting this time because I'm going to show my stuff. Come on, church. I'm not waiting this time. I'm going to show my stuff. Amen. I'm not going to hang back in the back anymore. He all of a sudden comes up. And the devil told his jockey, ride him fast and hard. He'll never be able to keep up all the way to the end. Just keep pushing him, and pushing him. Make him draw up. Make him get close. He did. Looked like the devil tempted the church to do something the church couldn't do. You see, the devil didn't know that the abscess was gone. And all of a sudden, he's riding on that Belmont. They're head to head. Head to head. That the devil's horse, I like to say it that way, literally was riding him and trying to pull ahead, making him, Secretariat, run a little bit faster. But Secretariat had the plan. See, we have the plan. If he wants to ride along our side, okay, but we're not going to pay attention to you. We're not going to cheat you. We're not going to do a thing. We're going to do what we're supposed to do. We're a winner. Doesn't matter how long the race is, we're going to win. And literally, they ran, and all the way around, they were neck to neck. Man, it was like a nail-biting situation. And the devil's up there saying, oh, yeah, he's going to get him now. He's going to slow him down. He'll never get this extra three-quarter mile. He's never run this. He can't do it. No, it won't happen. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost hit the horse, as far as I'm concerned. All of a sudden, Secretariat began to run. And all of a sudden, he pulls out like this, and the devil's horse pulls back like this, running just as fast as it was. But all of a sudden, Secretariat runs, comes around that turn, and there is the finish line down there. And he just shows the church's stuff. He runs, and when he crosses that line, he wanted to do it in such grandeur that the enemy of our soul can't say anything. No one can talk about it in any way. No one can say that was a mishap. Oh, that was too close. Or the camera shot was too close. We need to look at this over and over again. No. He came across the line. Now listen to me. 31 lengths ahead of the other horse. 31 lengths. And the Lord started to talk to me about the church. He wants to bring us across that line 31 lengths ahead of what the enemy had planned for us. Amen. But we have to learn that we have such great clouds of witnesses that are cheering us on. Those in the stands that believed, cheering us on, that were there. And so we need to lay aside all this weight that we have, all these sins that we have, and all the things. So what we can do is we will run to win. Because, you know, sin holds you down. Whether you want to admit it, agree with it, it doesn't matter. It's in the Word. Sin will hold you down. And sometimes, if we're not really running and we're not really caring, we will have a wasteful race. Because we're not running the way we could. You see, we should always run to win. We want to have a successful race. We want to be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I've not fallen to the challenges of this world. I'm not falling to the things that this world wants me to become. I'm not worried about anything. What we need to do is come to the finish of what God has called us to do. We need to have that finish in our mind and our finish in our heart. And we need to be able to see that finish and not hold back. Get a hold of those reins of life and begin to ride on what God's promises are in your dream and your hopes for family, for children, for everything, for your church, for whatever it is, your businesses that you're in, whatever, however, ride that like God is drawing you forth and come across that finish line 31 lengths ahead of what the enemy was trying to do. He's trying to run you to the ground, but God is taking you through. You see, if you run the race, you get an imperishable crown, not a one that's perishable. We get a crown that we get to wear in heaven. It'll never go away. We have to understand that we have the goodness of God in our life at all times. We have to run like this horse ran, who knew who he was. It didn't matter if he was way back here. He knew that when that finish line was coming, he would have enough power in him, enough get up and go, enough insistence in his race that he would win no matter what. Now, he could have showed it off a little less, huh? He could have just maybe won by half a length and won the Triple Crown by a half a length. Know what? No one, no horse ever since then, 1973, has run the race with that speed. That's what God wants our testimony to be. No one's going to replicate the church. The only horse out of 100 horses that has a higher ranking. And I've been to the statue, man of war. You see, I see secretariat is the church. And I see the man of war as Jesus Christ. He got the number one ranking. Do you understand what I just spoke into your heart? Run this race to win. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't just say to the enemy, yeah, you got the race. You're way ahead of me. There's no way I can catch up to you. Let me tell you something. God can give you the feet that run so fast. You know, Elijah ran so fast that he outran everybody. Miles ahead, God just anointed him to do that. What I'm saying to you is, what we need to understand is what God has said to your heart. He wants you to believe. He wants you to run the race of faith. And you're going to get there. You're going to get there. You're going to be the winner. You're going to come over there. Because we are born winners. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. We are born again winners. We have the power of God in our life. And you know what? He could have done a half a length. He could have done 3/4 of a length. He could have done 5 lengths, 7 lengths. That would have been amazing, 7 lengths. 31 lengths. And in my closing statement, the devil just shook his head and walked away. The jockey who rode the devil's horse walked over to the jockey who rode secretariat. Flipped his hat at him and said, "You are the winner. You are greater than my horse." You see, we have Jesus Christ. You cannot lose with him. No matter how difficult it may look for you today, no matter how hard it's been this week, no matter how many challenges came at a phone call, in a conversation, no matter what kind of fear is trying to dig into your life to paralyze you from being able to run the race, remember that fear is a lie. There's always help. There's always provision. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. Always. And you know what? I don't know if you see it yet, but I see it in your life. You're 31 lengths ahead already. You're 31 lengths ahead because of who you are in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.